Good afternoon, and welcome to KGNU Community Radio, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. This is Metro, and I am your host, Miriam Schiff. Today, we will be talking about an event that is taking place on the campus of CU Boulder on Wednesday evening, January 25th, with Milo Yiannopoulos. We will be talking about First Amendment rights, transparency, the normalization of hatred. My guests today are Darren O'Connor, community activist, and CU Boulder Chancellor Philip DeStefano. Talk a little bit about Milo Yiannopoulos, and I want to preface what we're going to be talking about first to tell our audience that I did approach Milo Yiannopoulos on his website to have him come in, as well as I approached the Young Republicans of CU Boulder to have them become part of this panel. We got no response from either party. We're being fair about this whole discussion. It's not a witch hunt. We don't want to chastise anybody for having him here. This is about free speech. This is about transparency. But this is also about hate speech. Darren, could you give us some background on Milo Yiannopoulos?
So Milo Yiannopoulos is a name that I didn't know just a couple of months ago until an article or letter came across my way from a website called It's Going Down, an anti-fascist group, who alerted the community that Milo Yiannopoulos was coming to CU's Boulder and Colorado Springs campus. Milo is a technical editor for Breitbart News. Breitbart News, the chief executive of that news outlet, is Steve Bannon, who is now the advisor to President Trump. And they are self-titled alt-right proponents, and the Associated Press has given a style guideline to say that we don't let groups of people self-define what they are, what most fits the content of folks who speak under the platform of alt-right is white supremacists, and that's what they suggest to journalists to use. So Milo does write. He could self-describe as a journalist, and he has, I would describe him as a blatant white supremacist. He got some of his first fame going after, I believe, Leslie Jones from the, what was that movie?
Ghostbusters
movie, thank you. She's an African-American actor who he denigrated and ridiculed on Twitter. It started a Twitter storm of people harassing her and coming out with what could only be called hate speech, referring to her as looking like a man, looking like an ape. And this is the kind of thing that he enjoys. He gets a lot of attention by doing it. He's going on this dangerous faggot tour, is what he calls it, on these different campuses. A new group on CU Boulder, a campus group, along with the College Republicans, are bringing him. That campus group is called Turning Point USA, and they have created a list of liberal professors that they're going to target. I believe six or seven different professors on the different CU campuses have made it on there. What he brings is hate speech, and I would argue as well an inciting to violence, which is not protected speech under the First Amendment, and I'm hoping Phil will weigh in on that. And while we're on that, I did prepare a statement on this. I know I'm taking time, but I respect the need to protect free speech. But I also recognize Yiannopoulos' presentations as hate speech aimed at inciting violence, whether he has legally met the criterion or not. At his recent college presentations, he put up an image of an LGBTQ professor and a trans woman and ridiculed them, dehumanized them, left them vulnerable to one of his hate-filled followers feeling emboldened to attack them, not just with words, but physically. He emboldened them to attack anyone who isn't a beautiful and passing transgender woman. He is no idiot, but a cold and calculating white supremacist who pushes the right to the line of hate speech and incites violence, but leaves just enough space to have a chance of defending himself in court. The legal details of why he was tolerated will be little solace to those he dehumanizes when they are maimed or worse, violently murdered. I'm thinking Matthew Shepard. When protesters recently challenged him, his audience members began shouting, "Grab him by the pussy." The act they were encouraging, Miriam, in their vitriolic chant is sexual assault, whether the president got away with that or not. This is not speech to be protected. It should be denounced and rejected. It is the people we love and support in our community that need protection. This is the coiffed and powdered faced of white supremacist violence brought to normalize hazing, harm, and hatred. We must challenge the exponential rise in hate crimes we've seen since the elections.
I want to thank you. I also want to give more information on Yiannopoulos. He was, after his Twitter account blew up and he had all the hate mongering towards the actor, his Twitter account was taken off and he does not have one on Twitter anymore. They refuse to have him on. What I find strange or incongruent to what he's spewing is the fact that Milos Yiannopoulos is also an out gay man and he's spewing hatred to his own community. And I agree with the fact that we need to protect freedom of speech, but we also need to protect the vicious attacks on victims or people that will become victims. I think that it's great that we became a sanctuary city for immigration and we're not going to out anybody that isn't a citizen. We have to do one step further and become a sanctuary for all those populations and that are marginalized. That would mean looking at Milos Yiannopoulos. What do you have to say about that, Phil?
Well, let me begin. First of all, thank you, you, Miriam, for this opportunity for Darren and me to be on your show. And, you know, I've been approaching this from the standpoint that our students and any campus group are always welcome to invite any speaker they wish. There's no litmus test or content test on whether someone can come to campus or not. The courts are clear on that. And if our students fill out the proper paperwork and collaborate with our event staff, they hold the event. And just because a speaker is controversial doesn't mean that they have the university's endorsement. And I can tell you that Milo does not have the university's endorsement from my standpoint as chancellor and certainly from the faculty and staff that I work with on a daily basis. And that's why on our campus at the same night, we're going to have the Buffs United event. And this is a grassroots effort organized by our students, our faculty, and our staff who wanted to celebrate our campus values of inclusion, respect, and dignity. And I'm delighted to be speaking at this event, and I've asked our mayor to also be speaking at this event because it shows what we really stand for and what we don't stand for.
And also the same night as both of these events, we're having Laverne Cox come and speak a diversity of what's going on the campus. Talking about that speech, what concerns me, normalizing, that giving this young man a platform is normalizing this speech, because if we hear it enough times, it becomes part of the vernacular. These are young people, and yes, they're supposed to know what's going on, but they're still vulnerable. How do we work with that? How do we work with, yes, we should have this transparency, however, we're normalizing. What do we do with that, Darren?
Well, the first thing, I think, we're talking about First Amendment rights and having an open dialogue, and we're sitting here lacking the presence of the people who are sponsoring this, the College Republicans. They could be here presenting their side of why they thought it important to bring what they're calling another voice, about important topics. But in fact, when I've engaged with some of these folks on Twitter, for example, I put out the hashtag for the College Republicans and got a few people to engage. And I did get one young man who had a thoughtful exchange. And after we dialogued for a while, he deleted the conversation. I don't know what his opinion was when we were done, because that ended. I invited him here, and you and I both invited. I invited him, and we invited the College Republicans. They're not here. So it's pretty hard to know where we go in terms of what's the other side thinking, because what it looks like is provocation, an enjoyment of projecting hate in a college campus environment, because they can. And I understand that Phil and the college are, their hands are tied because this is a university group. What I do know is that there are a lot of people opposed to this who aren't going to sit silently, and that unfortunately we're probably going to see the campus police have to protect these hate mongers and these provocateurs who have the badge of authority for one night because they've reserved the space.
And in response to that as well, and I believe it was Washington State or Washington
University of Washington.
University of Washington. A young man was shot at before one of Milos Yiannopoulos' talks. And we have seen enough outrage where there was violence before his talk. We see that beforehand. What's CU doing about it? Because it's known that anger breeds violence, and this young man...
Well, if I may, let me bring up 2 points. One is to answer that first question of yours that Darren responded to about, you know, what do we do? Because this, and the point that I want to make to our listeners is that this is one evening, and I know it's an evening that, you know, we're preparing for because of possible protests, possible violence, making sure that our students, our faculty, our community members are safe. But what I'm concerned about is the 364 days after Milo and what we do as a campus throughout the rest of this semester and into the next year to really make sure that our students, faculty, and staff understand, and I go back to what students created a few years ago, and that's the Colorado Creed, which really looks at values of respect, of dignity, and how do we as a campus throughout the year, not just one night, really spend time with our students and talking about those values. I also agree with Darren that if I were to be hosting an event, I would want to host a debate because I believe that when we have two opposing views, our students come in with their beliefs, or faculty and staff, they can hear different points of view, they can make decisions on their own. I trust our students to do that. When it's an individual by himself or herself, without that debate, without taking the different point of view or hearing a different point of view, it's not what I would like to see for the campus. But this is where we are. Certainly from the standpoint of canceling the event, and throughout the last few months, I've had a number of emails about, shouldn't we cancel the event because of safety issue? We're definitely evaluating the risks. We've been doing that for the last month and a half. We've actually had two of our police officers who attended the event at the University of Washington, and we'll be getting a report from them the first thing in the morning. By canceling the event, one of the repercussions of that is then whoever we might bring on campus, then there's always that opportunity for some extreme group to come through and say, talk about violence, talk about safety. And again, that's going to inhibit free speech. So it's up to the campus to provide the safety for our students, for all of our students, for our community members, our faculty and staff, and we'll be doing that evaluation tomorrow of what occurred at the University of Washington, and I was so pleased that our police officers were there.
A real touchy situation, and I know we're talking about First Amendment rights here, okay, and freedom of speech. For Phil, can you talk a little bit about First Amendment rights?
Well, again, I'm not a legal expert, but I definitely spent in my career, not only as chancellor, but of other administrative positions at the university, spending time with our legal scholars from our law school, as well as university counsel, about free speech. And the one issue that comes up, especially with Milo, and let's just get to it, and that is hate speech. And how has hate speech been defined? And how has the Supreme Court ruled against or for issues dealing with hate speech? And Darren and I had an opportunity to talk a few weeks ago. And again, this is not from a legal perspective, but, you know, the issue with the church in Kansas that protests gay funerals. And so they're protesting and I believe inciting, you know, what's worse than being at a funeral for a loved one and having protesters calling, you know, the deceased a faggot and so on. That actually went to the Supreme Court and it was ruled in favor of the protesters, I believe by an 8-1 vote, which tells me that there were liberals in that group that voted for it. So I think it's this definition which of hate speech, which to me, and I think to the three of us, what Milo says is hate speech, but I doubt very much from the information I received from legal that the courts would determine that it would be hate speech. And that's a concern for me, but I believe that's the reality.
And at this point, I would love to have somebody from the Young Republicans come here and challenge us with the thought of his speech is hate speech, because I would have to know from them and give us their retort on this. Darren, what do you feel about what Phil just said?
Yeah, I completely agree with everything he said. I would go further, though, to go back to what kind of speech is not allowed, and that is speech that incites violence. And so when we're talking about the University of Washington having someone be shot outside the event, now you're talking, you know, we can certainly be objective and say, well, Yiannopoulos wasn't standing out there saying, shoot that man, right? But, you know, Phil and I are getting to know each other because I worked with a large group of people to write a letter to the chancellor and the regents, as well as the city, challenging them to at least make an official statement against this guy coming. And our point, and my point here today, is that he does incite violence. He takes these, you know, minoritized communities, transgender people, gay people, black people, and he dehumanizes them to the degree that then people feel emboldened to treat them as less than human. And so, you know, can you draw a straight line from Milo to this person being shot? Well, I would argue that you can, but it's not a bright line. And I understand that the university is going to have to weigh that. And I really appreciate that we have law enforcement from Boulder who were present, who are going to be able to assess that judgment on whether he should be allowed. So that's the line that the Supreme Court has drawn, is you can't endanger people's lives. And, you know, by his own naming, he's the dangerous faggot. You know, what can we say about that?
I have seen this young man on YouTube, and I would recommend that anybody who doesn't know who he is, hasn't heard him, go on YouTube, Google his name to see what we're talking about. We need to continue educating ourselves. And I'm not asking you to take our point of view or their point of view. I'm asking you to form your own point of view, to find out, how do you feel? How do you feel in your heart when you see this person malign groups that are minority groups, that should have our support and not our... So that's what I'm going to challenge my listeners. If you don't know who we're talking about, listen to him, read about him. Well, they're just humorous talks. Well, I found out in the years that I've been alive, you can get away with a lot in humor and just say, you know, I'm kidding. But in fact, it goes back to my sense of desensitizing these young minds or any minds, where this becomes the okay, that this speech and this thought process becomes okay, because after all, he's only saying it in jest. Your thoughts on any of this, Phil?
Well, I think the one issue that comes up for me is this whole issue of a campus preparing students. And one of my goals is, you know, preparing students for leadership positions as after they graduate. And that doesn't mean a specific degree is necessary. They're all going to get a degree here and there. I want them to leave with a set of values that, you know, those values, and as I talked about in the Colorado Creed, which values of integrity and respect and accountability, dignity, civility. I mean, those are the values that I want them to take with them, so that as they're going on with their lives. And I think that's been actually lacking from us in higher education in years past. It's been, you know, get the degree on time, get a job, and go from there. And we want to be entrepreneurial and innovative in what we do. But you know as well as I do that there have been many innovations and many entrepreneurs who really didn't have the right values. And I want to make sure our students do. And that's why I'll go back to, you know, wishing that we could have a debate where students really got to hear both sides. And I'm going to be promoting more of that. Again, this is one evening. I'm worried about the protesters, the violence, possible violence. I think we can handle that from the standpoint of the university. But I want to look, as I said, at the next 364 days.
Darren?
Yeah, I do wonder, Phil, I know you've made some very strong and appreciated statements against the kind of speech that Milo is bringing. Were you able to engage with the university leadership, the president, and the regents to see about them making a public statement?
Yes. Well, as you know, one of not so much about the Milo event, although I've been in contact almost on a daily basis with my colleague at the Colorado Springs campus, and actually we're working very well together, her police department and ours. We're going to be sharing the information from the University of Washington with Chancellor Shockley and her staff tomorrow. One of the things that we did last week, and again, it was not particular to Milo, but I thought it was an important statement, was that the four chancellors and the president signed the Cal Poly letter about our DACA students, our undocumented students who are at the university, saying that, you know, we don't want the new administration, we don't want any changes for our DACA students. And I was very pleased that it was the whole University of Colorado system that did that. And I believe there was an article in the Camera about that the other day.
So what is their stand on, I know it's only one night, but one night can change a lot of minds, of Milo's coming?
Well, I think we all believe that students are able to invite whomever they want, and there's a speech issue. Whether we agree or disagree, and as I said, we've had other speakers who have been somewhat controversial, maybe not as controversial as Milo, Carl Rove, Rove was here, Howard Dean, Juliana, Rudy Juliana, Edward Snowden via teleconference. I mean, we've had speakers on the right and left, and I think the board, the president, all of the chancellors understand that that's what we do as part of a university, a public university, is free speech.
Yeah, you know, one thing I hope people will take away from this is that this is putting people in danger, and that racism is a construct of people like myself, white-skinned people who have privilege in our country, have had it for hundreds of years. And so it's also up to us to deconstruct it, to bring it down. And after Milo comes and these people are put at risk, if you see something, do something. If you see even the smallest amount of heckling or what may look like teasing to someone who is at risk in our community, say a transgender person, who's being joked at or snickered at, don't allow it. It's not okay, because it starts there and it builds until that person is truly a physical risk. So we all own the safety of our community.
And thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Because it is because of our privilege that we need to make a stand, that our privilege demands that of us, that we speak a word, we stop a hand, we stop speech if we have to. To have our community means that we have a community of everybody, that it's not just people that look like us or sound like us or have our education or think like us. We're capable of doing that because we are privileged. But you have to take that away from the mindset of who you are. Take away the feeling of being comfortable because you are privileged, and push those boundaries so that the uncomfortableness comes in, so that you look at things and you can start talking about things that might not be acceptable by your friends, your colleagues, but these are things that have to be talked about. That's why Chancellor DeStefano and Darren and myself are sitting here today talking about who's speaking hate. And I just want to throw this out, that in the last 18 months, the Southern Poverty Law Center has seen an 800% increase in hate crimes. And a hate crime could be anything from drawing a swastika on a synagogue or the side of a building, to hate speech, to slurring somebody, to throwing at any ism that they want to. It can just be the spoken word that you hear somebody do on a bus. Isn't going to make it into the Southern Poverty Law Center. However, you know it, and the person who it's directed to knows it. Phil, are there any last words that you would like to speak to our audience.
No, I think the point about our responsibility as bystanders is so important in this community. This community is one that we talk a great deal about being tolerant and welcoming diverse points of view and being inclusive. And I think we can show that Wednesday evening by either coming to my event of Buffs United or attending Laverne Cox, if I heard she sold out though. But I think this community is one that really has to get behind, I should say, what we're all trying to do in the area of inclusion and diversity.
Phil, your event's 5 to 7 at Old Main, is that right?
5 to 7 at Old Main.
At Old Main, okay.
On the 25th.
On the same night.
Thank you. And I want to thank you both for joining me today. It's been a pleasure sitting in the room with you. And I know we're of the same mindset and of the same heart, but I just hope that our talking to each other about this and bringing this to our community has opened up their minds to what's going on. It's not going on insidiously anymore. It's not going on covertly anymore. It's going on where we can see it, taste it, and feel it. Thank all my listeners today for joining me. This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins. Please stay tuned to the Shortwave Report and .org. I am your host, Miriam Schiff, reminding you to be good to each other.
Thanks, Miriam.
Thank you.